SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Well, it's a good thing I put the headset on. You lose track. I'm doing three things at once here, and I was tying my shoes. I'm texting with Hammer. I was on the phone with Chuck Simon. I'm doing like three things at once, five things at once. That's it. It's every day. Every day. Sirius 219 XM. 201 Sports on 964. If you're listening to SiriusXM online and at our website, good morning. And a good Thursday. Got to be getting excited about the Saturday action. I'm excited. We're going down to Aqueduct, and we got Scherzando back for his second start. And the fairgrounds. Road to the Fairgrounds Oaks and Louisiana Derby underway. And, I know I've been saying all week that, you know, that's going to be the focus, the biggest focus. But that's I was not premature about it, but, you know, granted, it's got the big graded stakes, the Louisiana and the LeCompte, and then the rest of the undercard. But there's a really good sequence at Laurel. For example, with the strong winter carnival, as it were, they've got six stakes, over half a million, and it's time at Tampa, Pasco, and the Gasparilla, and what's the third? The older horse. There's always the older one, the Wayward Lass. As well, you've got strong regional action. California has got, and there is, of course, yesterday's contract news and purse news, which we'll get to. They've got the Cal Cup ish day. I say ish because there's a little bit of everything. This is that point on the calendar where we used to have the alternating Sunshine Millions stuff. So then the Cal Cup kind of augmented when the thing kind of splintered apart, and you've got, you know, Sunshine Million races down at Gulfstream, but you got a full-fledged Calbred day at Santa Anita. There's a little everything. Nice card as well at put together for Aqueduct. Our race that we're in, the maiden special for state breds, going a mile. Split actually into two divisions, and so forth. Plenty to keep us occupied, and looking ahead to weekend preview tomorrow. And I'll give you a couple of the highlights from what was drawn yesterday, and of course the fairground stuff. And you've had days to peruse. Speaking of fairgrounds, I'll give you a quick aside because something bubbled to the surface that got me. Again, one of the things I was doing in the last hour and a half. Tomorrow, there's a maiden special for three-year-old fillies. And as I'm going through this group, it's a group of 10, and it's, I guess, led by the Brett Calhoun Warfront filly, although this is on the main. But there's a very interesting that Calhoun has avoided the grass with the Peace Broker. Warfront out of a Manjou mare and making a fourth start on dirt. So they're doing everything they can to prove her out as a dirt horse. I suppose they could always move to the grass once if they exhaust that aspect of her. And she's run well she's run okay on the dirt, let's say that. She's been second, third, and fourth in three starts. But what caught my eye in here There's also the Tappet filly out of Hot Dixie Chick for Steve Asmussen and Barbara Banky. Pauline's Pearl making a second start. Ran okay in December in her debut. Disappointed as the favorite. Seems to have actually, probably better second start. But no, the horse that caught my eye is a horse for Merrill Shearer. And third start for Della Frost. This is a horse that Merrill owns with Dan Lynch. And I mentioned, was it late last week, or it might even been already this week, that we wanted to get an update. So I reached out to Gary Shearer, and, you know, Gary's handling, these horses for Merrill while he continues to recover from the stroke. And he is home. The good news is that he's home. Gary says that he's doing better. And he's taken calls. He said, if you've been hesitating to, friends and far-flung friends throughout the game of Merrill, he's home and you can reach him. So if you have been holding off calling and, checking in with the great Merrill Shearer, you got the green light from Gary, and I'm sure everybody will be thrilled to hear him. At the least, send him. He never was a great texter, to be honest. But he would respond, with a couple of words whenever you tried to text Merrill. But that was good news, and certainly rooting. Here's Della Frost making a third start, a frosted filly that Merrill and Dan Lynch paid $47,000 for as a OBS 2-year-old out of a kitten's joy. Here's another one that probably wouldn't mind the grass if need be. She debuted on the grass, actually, going short, then made a slight improvement in her second start. So anyway, that jumped off the page of me, and I wanted to check in. A couple of things about today, and of course it's Thursday, so you got some Tony Black, you got your Steve Askin, you got your Rich Eng, and we'll slip Seth in too. Second week in a row, actually, that Wednesday got a little oversized, and of course yesterday's show and programming essentially taken over by the passing of Prince Khalid. And I mean, there have been so many. It's amazing, actually. If you scour the internet, any of the race media here and abroad, there's some really already been. I mean, it's 2 days, and there's already been some really interesting reaction in terms of delving into the Judmont history and legacy. And saw a piece from the Racing Post, and there was another piece at Blood Horse about the foundation mares and the ones that, that aren't necessarily as heralded. I mean, as Toussaint and Hasili and so forth. But the backstory, before everybody, came to understand just how, how successful they were, becoming. And, back when the seeds were being planted, as it were. So lots to absorb. And I thank Lenny and Nick Luck for yesterday's contributions. And Sid, because, Sid rounded out the. And we had a lot to cover yesterday, and we didn't even get to everything because there's a couple of late retirements that and horses that are heading into sheds. We'll get to that. I put it all on the side, so we'll get to that. In addition to the Thursday plus Merrow lineup. Don't have a chance today to talk to Dick. We'll talk to Dick Powell tomorrow. Dick's got something he could not avoid today. So I said, how about Friday? So we'll get Hong Kong action, yesterday's racing, and Saturday night, Sunday morning's shot in. We'll do that with Dick tomorrow. Chris Griffin's going to join us, though, in this hour. You know, Sam Houston is the shot in of Texas. Is that right? That's what they say. So. and I guess, what is that? I guess Retama is the Happy Valley. Is that speculating? Chris Griffin's going to join us from Sam Houston. It's the start of the second week, and a reminder that it's not night racing. It starts at 5:03 Eastern time. 4:03 Central is your first post, and the Space City 6 converts today, starting today. And we're really pushing this because they did the right thing, and they've been so cognizant of pricing for players. And I mean, this is particularly aggressively priced, the 12% takeout on the Space City, and no more jackpot if it gets hit on a daily basis. But let's say today that it just gets hit straight, 75% of the pool goes to winners, 25% to consos. If there's a carryover, 25% goes to the fives of six, and 75% would carry to the next day. So 50 cents, and the 50-cent increment, this is going to be fun to track, I think. And I tried to get Andy to talk about this on Tuesday, and Nick, we touched. It should be interesting, and I think, given how much experience now people have been able to build up with the pick five plays, I got a feeling that this is really going to be well received. You know, the 20s, obviously, if they couldn't have done this at 20 cents because there wouldn't ever be a carryover. You do want carryovers. You do want there to be some sequences that are just, you know, that go unhit. And so it'll trigger some big pays. But the 50-cent increment, I think, is new. I haven't played seen a pick six scenario with a 50-cent increment. The dollar, of course, Breeders' Cup has experimented with the dollar increment the last few years for the 2 days that they've run the Breeders' Cup pick six. And that, you know, that's a challenge. I mean, that's one thing that, you know, is part of the equation on the ticket building front. So we'll see. And we'll see what Chris's thoughts are. I didn't get a chance to type this up. I'll do it after the show. But it's not an easy sequence. And it's particularly made particularly challenging, I thought, with the first leg. And the first leg is a 50,000 optional claimer, non-winners of two lifetime, going a mile on the grass. This is for straight three-year-olds. And what makes this a maniacal first leg, there's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the 10 horses. Make it 7 of the 10 horses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of the 10. Holy cow. 8 of the 10 are trying the turf for the first time. And in addition to those that are trying the grass for the first time, almost the entire field is stretching out. There's, I think, seven that are stretching out from six or six and a half furlongs. I mean, that's a recipe. They're going to go a mile on the grass at Sam Houston. And it just feels like a recipe for, you know, for a bit of a collapse. And on that topic, there's a horse that caught my eye in here. That's a 20-1 shot on the morning line, of Nick's morning line, Texas Bad Boy. This is a Texas red, bred by the McLeans, actually, out of a Pechonville mare, Slewville. And he was a debut winner for Kevin Scholl at Remington in December. And he came from off the pace, which is an attribute that could really help here. 20-1. And the aspect that, you know, I was already interested because I was looking for somebody that might come from off the pace. The aspect of this is Kevin Scholl's glaring numbers going to the turf. He's 3-for-4 the last 18 months, going first turf of any kind. And overall, dirt to turf, he's 5-for-11. Both, obviously, with garish ROIs. So this is Texas Bad Boy, 20-1 in the first leg. And after that, after you get out of this first leg, it gets, I think, a little bit more approachable. But the first leg is a monster. Yeah, second leg, you're going to look at, there's actually a couple of horses in here you're going to be familiar with, including Steve Asmussen with Rotation. Who's been back for his 5-year-old debut. And vice versa, claimed from Asmussen by Diodoro, who's a nice horse, has won 5 times. Now, those are, you know, seemingly the two that you're going to focus on. Dreams of Valor seems like he's got a shot, the veteran. So, you know, that's reasonable enough. The third leg, a nickel dated claimer, 9 winners, 2 since July. And, you know, here I thought, you know, the two favorites made a lot of sense. In fact, I imagine some people will consider singling, you know, depending on your budget, AJ's Grand in here. The 7. Eighth is a little tricky. I kind of wanted to see if maybe anybody came out of there. And then the 9th and 10th. The 9th, you know, feels like there's 3-4 horses. I got 1, 5, 6, 7 noted. And then in the nightcap, I thought it came down to the, you know, obviously the 4-5 favorite is going to be a heavy lean Egyptian Princess for Asmussen, making a first start for Asmussen, moving over from Brendan Walsh. So I'm anxious to hear what Chris's thoughts are. All right. So we'll go through the Sam Houston action with you in about half an hour, a little less, give or take. I mentioned the piece of news from California, and this is a nice development. What transpired here is essentially tinkering with the structure of the ADW contracts with the TOC, and essentially it amounts to a significant and vital, frankly, boost to the purse accounts for Southern California. And they expect, as it stands right now, with TVG, Del Mar, Stronach Group, together, it'll mean about $15 million into purses over the next 2 years. There's, you'll recall that late last year, you know, the analysis that was pandemic habit and practice, and essentially, you know, no racetrack on racetrack revenue, put a almost a 20% dent into purse account contributions. So this you know, this effort to renegotiate the the percentages essentially will help offset that loss. And it should be noted that Santa Anita has already had a 10% across-the-board purse increase based on early handle numbers. So things, you know, definitely a shot in the arm and a help on that topic. Makes it a little easier anyway. Tomorrow we'll probably get more on this. I probably maybe get Steve Anderson tomorrow to flesh out some of the details. So that that was nice news. Sale action yesterday at Keeneland. Today's the last day. And kind of a modest day of trade here, day three. Some of the, I guess the Spry family dispersal went through yesterday. The top seller was a Street Sense, a young Street Sense mare that Dino Beccari bought. Or Chris Beccari, excuse me, Dino. Dino's my man, Dino. I should text Dino. Wish him a happy new year. From the Hood, Street Sense mare in full to Fast Anna, $375,000. Top baby, top short yearling was a Leia Band colt, bought by Rascal Bloodstock, $70,000. Shaman Ghost with an early nice selling baby, a colt to Cedar Rock Ranch, $55,000. And some of the Spry family mares. Here's Heavenly Sis, $180,000 to Windstar. And the Uncle Mo filly, Mo Emma, $120,000, purchased by Zilly Racing. Now here's this just caught my eye. I missed this in the first pass, actually, and I'm just noticing that Tom Evans, trackside, paid $160,000 for 10 demerits, who's in full to Gervin. That's going to be, you know, there's some stallions that are popping, that are hitting the market. 10 demerits is a 6-year-old Into Mischief out of Pussycat Doll. And that actually makes me, that reminds me of, I want to guess that Pussycat Doll herself was a trackside product, or maybe not. I Pussycat Doll rings a bell, and I'm trying to. I'm gonna have to look her up. Real quiet. Maybe Pegram, Mike Pegram, and Baffert. That's possible. That's possible. Yeah. All right. I'll look that up on a break. All right. Let me. Got to jot this stuff down. Otherwise, it slips through the cracks. There we go. Pussycat Doll. Yeah. The reason I'm thinking it is there something maybe was Pussycat Doll related to Midnight Loot? Maybe there's something that ties in here to Trackside, and I thought maybe not. All right. this is how those rabbit holes get established, right? This is exactly what happens with me. Then now I'll look up Pussycat Doll and go from there. A few other things. Let's see. Tomorrow, I'll mention it while we got a chance. Golden Gate resumes racing tomorrow, and they got an 8-race card to kick things back off. And obviously, it's been what? It's close to 2 months, month and a half plus, and a real battle on the backstretch with COVID. And good to see them, getting back up and running. All right. So if you weren't aware that. Golden Gate back on your screen tomorrow. Matt Dinnerman should be in fresh, strong voice, I would imagine. And by the way, I just turned over my note on the sale, and I do want to note the unfortunate incident on Tuesday at Keeneland. If you did not see this, Bill Finley wrote this up at TDN. Ricardo Ramirez, 66, who worked for Jim Herbiner, had a heart attack while handling a yearling just about to come into the ring. Yeah. And passed away. So, thoughts. Herbiner mentioned that Ramirez, would only do this kind of work during the sale period and for him, and the rest of the year he was a cab driver in Lexington. But he had worked for Ashford for 30 years. And if you read the piece that Bill wrote up, you could tell Herbiner was very upset. And so, yeah, tough, oh, tough one. I didn't want to let that slip through the cracks. I mentioned before we take a break, the Laurel card. And let's give you a quick before we take a break and before Chris Griffin joins us. The slate down at Laurel's got a lot of familiar. I mean, there's Maryland bred veterans, to say the least, and the Geisha for the Phillies and Mares going a mile, drew a field of six, I see the Tim, by the way, I see the Tim Keefe's got one in here and coconut cake. I believe Tim got reelected as the head of the Maryland Horsemen. That election just took place. Jonathan Thomas has got Gale in here for Bob Evans and Eclipse. Just a six-horse field, but a nice it's a nice group, actually, in the Geisha. You got the Fireplug. These are the boys going three-quarters. Our friend Al Gold has got Wendell Fong. Drew the Rail and looks good in here, actually. This is a serious field. Wendell Fong. How about good old Lackey making his 8-year-old debut for De La Dovico? Lebda has made $250,000. Virtually everybody in this field, I think, is a major six-figure earner. Quite something, actually. This is a serious field in the Fireplug for $100,000. You've got Share the Ride, and how about I mentioned Lebda, Share the Ride, Karen's Notion. Good group. Wendell Fong is in the hands, by the way, of Natalia Lynch, who had been an assistant to Jeremiah Engelhart. And she's just getting going. She's sent out a dozen starters or so and looking for her first win. It'd be nice to get it in a stake. The Jennings for the Maryland Breds. And again, you know, some serious veteran horses. Cordmaker for Rodney Jenkins and Hillwood. Very nice. $500,000 coming in for his 6-year-old debut. And Tim Keefe's got another one in here, Tattooed. And you've got Always Mining shows up in here. So the Jennings and the What a Summer. Tarawa and Club Car, as Ben Colebrook threatened the other morning. Club Car shows up in here. Malibu Mischief comes down from New York for Rudy Rodriguez. Hello Beautiful for Brittany Russell, who will be a favorite. Nice group in the What a Summer. Fillies and Mares going three quarters. And then the Extra Heat for the 3-year-old Fillies. 6 furlongs. Almost everybody, is making their 3-year-old debut. Breeze Off the Bay, actually, and Trip to Freedom, they both actually would be making their second start already in this spot. And Phil Schoenthal, who we promised we were going to reach out to, and he's got Plain Drunk, the Stay Thirsty, in here, last seen in the Pennsylvania Nursery. And the boys' race, the Spectacular Bid. So a very nice slate of stakes Saturday at Laurel. Shaq Queen King coming back for Gary Capuano out of the Howard County. Turnback, actually. Looks pretty potent in here at a glance. It's actually, this looked like there's some horses with upside in here. May the horse be with you for Brittany Russell. Michael Dubb, a Bulls Bay gelding coming out of an allowance win. Yeah, but Shaq Queen King. Coming back from a mile and a 16th. So nice card for Laurel and part of what fleshed out into a very nice Saturday when you fold in Fairgrounds. The Gasparilla and the Pasco, the boys and the girls going 7/8 each. at Tampa as well. And you know what? Maybe we'll save this with Seth. I'm sure Seth looked ahead. Feeling mischief for Michael Campbell coming out of the Sandpiper. Where he was a winner at 3-1 as a favorite. So leads the group in here, undoubtedly. And in the Pasco, the inaugural winner did not come back in here, actually. Interesting. Poppy's Pride. But the third place finisher for Tim Padilla, the Alligator Hunter, an overanalyzed colt that Tim co-owns with Peter Mattson. Looks like looks all right. You also got a last out winner making a debut horse, a flat out for Tim Ham. Out of a Pomeroy mare. I don't think this horse came up with, I would have remembered, I think, with Tim. A Heimlich, A-H-I-M-E-L-E-C-H. See if he can't maneuver his way around. yeah, all right, Case, better take a break. We'll take a break here, come back, and Chris Griffin's going to join us. We'll talk about the, that was terrible. A Heimlich. Heimlich maneuver? Yeah? No? All right. I'll stop. I'll show myself out. back after this. I think Casey's disgusted with me. All right. At the Races, just getting going on Thursday. Chris Griffin from Sam Houston after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
A great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine. Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. and because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. And the Heimlich note was met with the exact proper amount of complete disdain. No less than two texts, a couple of DMs on Twitter, and God knows how many else were just utterly disgusted with that. With that terrible pun, and also, I'm not other than Pussycat Doll being Jimmy Creed's half sister. I'm not sure why. Yeah, and indeed was Baffert and Mike Pegram. I don't know. I don't know why I'm thinking of Midnight Lutes. Maybe Midnight Lutes. Pussycat Doll was out of Hooked on the Feeling, City Dancer, Mayor. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure why her name kind of gripped me for some reason. But that was the backstory on Pussycat Doll. So, there you go. Midnight Lutes, damn, of course, was Candy Tuft. There is a bit of a, little bit of a tie-in, Real Quiet. No, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know. Social Bug was also out of Candy Tuff. But that's not what it was. All right. That's one of the things. The names, the layers of names start to stick in your head. Chris Griffin standing by. And Chris, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve. Great to catch up with you. And here we are, 2021. Let's get rolling.
Well, you got rolling on Friday and Saturday, smashing start to the season at Sam Houston.
Yeah, only got to do it 40-some-odd other times. But, yeah, it's a great start, great opening weekend, and great response, and lots of positives, and just getting the coverage done, and getting the 12% takeout out to folks, and hopefully they're enjoying that. And now getting ready for our first Thursday afternoon program, and then we're going to add Wednesdays to the mix, and getting beat down, and but that happens. That's understandable. The thing is that there's so many horses that on paper they look like they're just much the best in the spot, or you see these connections, and when you see Steve Asmussen, Carl Broberg, Robertino Diodoro, you know they're going to take money. So right now it looks like early on in the meet, maybe you try and tackle them. Maybe you try and beat them in some of these spots. And you saw some smaller barns. You saw J.R. Caldwell get a couple at some nice prices. And You know, when you've got the low takeout at 12%, and then you start getting some of these 18-to-1 shots, it really makes it appealing for the bettors out there, and that's what you saw opening weekend. Will we see it continue? I don't know. You know, Steve Aspis and Stuart Elliott, they're going to get rolling at some point. You know that's going to happen where they're going to win 3 on a day. But right now, especially early on in the meet, you know, some of these horses have had some time off, especially in the turf events. You saw a 30-to-1 shot light up the board last Saturday, and it's just been a real nice start from a value standpoint. And I showed that in my selections this week. I learned my lesson, so I'm going to go away from some of the favorites, hopefully, in these spots and try to catch a price, because it only is going to take about 2 or 3 of those that we get some real nice scores during the meets, and that's what I'm looking for.
Well, and you mentioned the horse that kicked off the pick six, the force out on Saturday, and that was He Could Go All the Way. Nick Tamaro and I talked a little bit about the sequence on Monday, and that was the only turf race of the day, and that was a horse that was not easy. It's interesting, though. Jessica Paquette made a case for He Could Go All the Way. And you know, she talked about, you know, one of the fairly clear potential winners, but she absolutely tried to justify including He Could Go All the Way. And at 35-to-1, that, and of course the horse in the Nightcap, Heavenly Rhythm, who was less difficult to come up with, was a nice price at 14-to-1. But He Could Go All the Way was the key to negotiating the sequence.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Jessica's been just a joy to work with, and she's just been a great addition. But she really dives into those pedigrees and takes a look at it. And, yes, on the surface, on paper, you know, the horse had just broken its maiden for a real small price, and that kind of threw off bettors. But from looking at the turf form, she just felt like this one was going to really outperform its odds. And it was on a graphic. We did a video about it, and she said it. So it was a true long shot play from her. And kudos to her. You know, she kicks off the meet with a 35-to-1 shot. You're either no pressure the rest of the meet, or now you've got a lot of expectations to send out nothing but 30-to-1 shots every weekend. But she made a case for it, and the horse did well. It was interesting, you know, looking at the turf races. We just ran a couple over the last weekend, so you're kind of trying to get a feel for how speed holding up. But in that race, there was a favorite that a lot of people, I felt like, were backing off. So it did look like a spot where you were going to take a shot against the favorite, like we saw a lot last weekend. And if you did that, it really kicked off that pick six really well. And who knows, whoever hit that $272,000 on Saturday, they obviously had the horse on the ticket, so maybe they went in an all situation, or maybe they caught Jessica's insight and threw the four on there as well. But you'll see that, you'll find that, and she'll be joining us throughout the meet whenever we get an opportunity to have some selections and video. And she's one to follow, of course, because she's dialed in, and she gave you that 35-to-1 shot. So we'll see if we can do that. And hopefully I can stay away from some of the favorites and give you some winners as well.
Well, the winners really kind of spread around. That includes from a riding standpoint as well as from the training standpoint. Steve Asmussen off to a nice start with 3 winners the first 2 days, and Stewie Elliott multiple winners on Saturday and had one as well on Friday, kicking off the season. Pretty much everybody, it seems. Raylu Gutierrez, we should mention, coming in from New York, and Raylu off to a big start as well. He had 3 winners opening day.
Yeah, you put it exactly well. There was a little something of everything that happened during opening weekend, and yeah, you see some new faces because David Cabrera and DeSean Parker, your top 2 leading riders last season, are not here. It leaves the spot, and it leaves that opportunity open here for some of these riders, the new faces that are in town, to really vault up the leaderboard and really make a name for themselves and have a real nice meet. And, you're seeing that reflected in Raylu's mounts as he's picked up this weekend, as you'll start seeing him ride from different barns. And Rye Eichelberry is now looking like he's going to ride for Carl Broberg pretty predominantly, first call, and he's named on a lot of favorites and will be in some spots. And Stuart Elliott, as you say, you know, he'll continue to be very consistent and successful. Lane Luzzi's trying to get in the mix, and just a lot of new names and faces and some real opportunities and some nice field sizes. And just keep everybody safe and get them around there. But they've got some real chances here in the jocks room to really make a name for themselves.
I'm also noting, looks like as many as 14 Looks like in 20 races, you had 14 different training outfits score wins already. So a little bit of everybody getting into the act, getting going. And today, the new version of the Space City Pick 6 gets going. 50% increment. I kind of was sort of free associating a little bit about the increment in here, Chris, because it is it's going to be interesting. It's enough to inhibit people from pushing the all button willy nilly, but it's low enough that you could craft some reasonable approaches to the sequence. And so I'm anxious to see how people take to the 50-cent increment. And the 12% is incredibly generous for players. But certainly when you look at this sequence, it starts in the fifth, which will go off at 6:56 Eastern, 5:56 Central. I thought this was a very difficult place to start the pick six. A lot of horses going to the turf for the first time. You got a ton of stretch outs. And I really struggled to get a grasp on who the obvious candidates were. I did find a 20-to-1 shot though that I'm I'm kind of interested in here. Texas Bad Boy, talk a little bit about what you think we should expect in the fifth.
Yeah, race number five. So number seven, Lizard King, is 5-to-2 on the morning line, and then Ron Moquette takes over here, and this horse comes from Monmouth Park, was odds on, won by a neck. Actually called that race at Monmouth Park with Lizard King when I was over there. But the number seven, I don't know. I think too short of a price in here. It doesn't look like a single. The number six, Texas Bad Boy, you've probably seen some turf in the pedigree, and that was an impressive first out effort, four wide in the turn, strong drive, as the notes say, and you're getting a big price at 20-to-1. And Kevin Scholl will win some races here during the meet, and you know that outfit, like you say, 14 different outfits, different barns. He'll get in the mix. But the number three, Vim and Vigor, is who I went with at 8-to-1 on the morning line. The one time this horse tried turf, it was at Remington Park at the 7.5 furlong distance, was the favorite that day and was fourth beat in the length, then came back, got back on the dirt and won by 2 lengths. You know, the last effort was in the Springboard Mile, beaten 19.5 lengths. But I think the horse wants grass, by Vancouver, out of a Kitten's Joy. It just feels like the number three, Vim and Vigor, is giving you a ton of value at 8-to-1. And I think is going to be well spotted. I don't think I think has a little bit of tactical speed. Isn't going to be too far back from what that Remington Park effort looked like. But this 3-year-old gelding, I think, can make some noise. And if you get that 8-to-1, I think that's a real nice proposition in there. One to have on the tickets, and one to hopefully get home, because the number say one's okay. But the question marks, I guess, are to the outside as well. The number 9 River Ruler and the 10 Spotted Bull. Scott Young trains the number 9. Brett Calhoun trains the number 10. Both of them are trying turf for the first time. They look like they've got some speed towards the outside. They're going to have to go. I think one of them, definitely the number 9, River Ruler, is going to go and be up there with those leaders. It just depends on if they take to the grass and if they're going to take them all the way around. But I think the number 3 has shown you a little bit of something on turf, and I think at that 8-to-1 proposition there, I think that offers a ton of value here in the spot.
And you brought up the same element that I stressed earlier, that all these stretch outs, it in addition to moving dirt to turf, and that seemingly is going to guarantee a pace in here, I would think, Chris. And so Texas Bad Boy caught my eye for that reason, because he was a winner at first asking, and he came from off the pace. And then I saw Kevin Scholl's crazy numbers, dirt to turf. He's 5 for his last 11 over the last 18 months.
You're talking me into it. It's one to add on the ticket at 20-to-1.
20-to-1.
It kicks off the pick six, and the numbers are there. So the horse has done nothing wrong. Anytime they win at a little bit of a price like that, I think there's some ability there. They just were ignored on the board, and you're going right back to a 20-to-1 shot, first-time turf. The numbers are there, like you say. It's a good long shot to have. You could be right. And Jessica Paquette, we talked about her. She liked the number 4 generator. She felt like there was a ton of turf pedigree in there. At 10-to-1 offering value. So race number 5 looks like you can go a lot of different directions as we are right now. And I'll side with the 3, but you might be talking me into the 6 to throw that one on some ticket somewhere.
No, I'm glad you talked about vim and vigor because at least he's got turf experience. His second career start, which doesn't look like much on paper, and 47 Beyer and fourth, but he was only beaten a length, and it was two turns, and then subsequently Larry Stroop has been running him a mile. So this is a horse that's been around turns repeatedly, and that's going to give him an advantage over some in here that are going to be negotiating two turns for the first time, and a bunch that are going to be trying the grass. So there's a lot going on in this opening leg, and we'll see if there's anything that the board, at least this race, considering to me it's the toughest of the sequence, at least you'll get a read. Maybe the board helps us a little bit when we're making our final decisions. The second leg is a straight second level allowance going a mile on the main track, and you've got a couple of horses I thought that, you know, that were very obvious. There might even be people on budgets that are going to try to single vice versa.
Yeah, I kind of went away from that. I for some reason, I just wasn't – I looked at vice versa, has won three in a row. Last time was at that optional 15, has won 5 of 13 lifetime, 4 of 8 in 2020. Everything says this horse is an absolute standout in here, but there was just something that just wasn't – really clicking for me here in this spot. It looks like a big favorite. Going to two turns is going to have the outside post. I think is going to work out the right trip. But I think if you can catch Steve Assis and Stuart Elliott, New Mexico came back at Remington Park, was running at Oaklawn Park, and the form kind of had tailed off, but then was right around this 5-to-1 price, 6-to-1 on the morning line here today. But this 5-year-old by Malibu Moon, I think that this horse has maybe come back a different horse, you know, just a maintenance move there, 4 furlongs, 52-1 going on December 19th, and I think it's just probably kind of held form. And I think this is where you take a shot. You know, Robertino Diodoro's got two horses in here. He's got the number 7 vice versa. He's also got the number 2 Dreams of Valor, mm-hmm. who's running at Del Mar Mile, 3 starts back on the turf at Del Mar. They're both going to take a ton of action in here, but going back to what I was saying, if I'm going to be against the favorites, this is the type of favorite that I want to be against here in this spot, because I know everybody's going to play them on the ticket. So if I can get around these two favorites here, then I feel like I've created a ton of value on my tickets if it's in the pick 3 or we're looking at the pick 6 and even this one, the first leg of the pick 5. So the 5 New Mexico, I felt like that's where the value is, because maybe this horse has come back to some of those early efforts early on in the career. You know, the horse had backed up at Oaklawn Park, but this horse did show the way and then drew away and won by 2 lengths. So was this horse just better than the field that day, or has this 5-year-old by Malibu Moon really started to improve? I'm going to go with this horse is starting to improve and starting to find itself really well at 5 years old and can put these back-to-back efforts together. And I'm getting 6-to-1 on Steve Asmussen and Stuart Elliott.
Well, and New Mexico, you mentioned Stewie and Steve Asmussen. New Mexico, Clark Brewster, and from an ownership standpoint, and we should note that in addition to Steve and his longtime friend, client, and attorney, Clark Brewster, there's also the Winchell homebred in here, Rotation, who's going to make the 5-year-old debut. Ray Lou Gutierrez jumps aboard. This is the, being out of Free Spin, this is a full brother of Tapiture. And he's been okay. I mean, he won the Super Derby going back to his 3-year-old year, but he didn't really go forward as a 4-year-old. And so Rotation starts his 5-year-old season here, too. And we can't move on without at least mentioning the other Asmussen. But Stewie was on him in the Hawk at Remington, in the Hawk Memorial, and which Broberg won with the streaking Hunk of Burnin' Love. But Stewie sides with New Mexico in here. So second leg of this Space City pick 6. Third leg is a 5,000 claimer going back to July 14th, non-winners of 2. And this seemed pretty straightforward to me. Chris Griffin with us from Sam Houston, and AJ's Grand and High Class Euro, you know, seem to have an edge over this group.
They do, but I actually went away from them. I went away from both
look at
of them
you.
Because, you know, you take a look at the last few efforts from AJ's Grand. Like you say, 2-1 has run at the $5,000 level, third beat in 8 lengths last time. But there were some return winners at that race, so that might have been a better race. The number 6 High Class Euro, as you say, Steve Williams, gets this one. Raylu Gutierrez comes out of those state bred events, now in open company. I'd like the 8 Undivided, right to the outside of them. Can kind of take a look at both of those favorites. The numbers seem like it's right there on par with the 6 and the 7. Amanda Barton and Henry Witt Jr., you know, you've seen his name. He's won quite a few races since I've been here at San Houston Race Park, and he usually does them at some value. So Ernesto Valdez Jimenez aboard. It was just an okay effort last time out, but you go 2 back before that, a second by a head, second beaten 3/4. They claim this runner. And then also the horse has been at this distance 16 times with 3 wins, 4 seconds, and a third. So 8 times into the trifecta out of 16. And 8-1 again. Let's go price shopping a little bit. Let's take a shot here early on in the meet, especially with this 6-year-old mare By Divine Spark towards the outside. Just seems like the number 8 could give you a bit of a thrill here in their spot at the 8-1 price. It looks like a pretty wide open race. It just seems like a lot of different things. Some of these favorites, I don't know. I'd be careful here. 3 straight fourths on the 6, a third, a second, and a fifth on the 7. I don't know. It's interesting that you saw it that way, because I kind of felt like I saw it a little bit more spread on this ticket.
Well, and that's fine. That's why you have these conversations. The thing about AJ's Grand, she's kind of alternating efforts, and her good races beat this field. If she comes back to that race at Delta December 7th, the race then 4 back at Louisiana Downs, that actually was in the slop, and she's good on a wet track. But her A race wins in here. But there's plenty of others that we haven't even mentioned. That GP, GP's Amazing Grace. Raging Gold Digger is an interesting horse to me, because she obviously, she's an English Channel, and she would rather have, it seems like she'd rather have turf. And you go back to her races throughout last year on the grass, and they're very good. She is just not the same horse on dirt. Danny Pish takes over. Took this one from Caldwell at Remington in December. And I don't know if Danny's getting a read on Raging Gold Digger, but maybe she'll. What's the lowest level you run on the grass at Sam Houston?
I'd have to double check. They were changing some of those conditions. Not 5. I don't think we run 5. Let me get back.
I wouldn't think so, but yeah, I'm just curious. Because it just might be that. You know, she's not good enough to run, you know, for what might be the lowest you run for on the grass. And so it's one of those kinds of decisions. But she is not untalented either, Raging Gold Digger. So
she does look like a turf horse. I agree. She does look like a turf horse, but you never know. We'll see. 0-7 on the dirt. I'd be a little nervous about that.
Exactly. Does have a couple of placements, but... The second half of this pick six, Space City pick six, 12% and 75% to winning tickets, 25 for consos and 50-cent increment, a 1 mile nickel claimer. I thought this was a tricky race. I was kind of hoping to get some help from the scratch board.
Yeah. Carlos Sixes, you know, runs back to some of these allowance efforts, Carlos Sixes is probably going to win the race. Now, this is a pretty significant drop. I mean, the horse qualifies for the conditions in here. Austin Gustafson, you know, I've talked about him quite a few times over opening weekend. He had a real nice 2020. I think he's going to continue that in 2021. This might be a case where they're just putting this horse in a real prime spot for somebody to claim the horse, because if you take a look at it on paper, AP's Bluegrass is probably going to show the way. Carlos Six is probably going to sit right off, and Carlos Six is on paper seems to run by this horse in the stretch. It just depends on what the drop in class might mean for bettors out there. I did like the number 5 Trustworthy again. I maybe just a bounce back effort, has taken a lot of money in the last 3 starts and just hasn't responded. But the 8 Carlos Sixes looks tough. It's just kind of how do we evaluate the drop down to the $5,000 level? They claim this horse for $10,000 from Broberg. And then the horse has run in allowance events the last two times. Has taken money both of those times and just hasn't gotten it done. So maybe this is the spot. Like I say, they drop and they just want somebody to claim the horse away. But I think it's pretty tough here in race number eight.
The question for him, to me, is where's the speed going to come from exactly to, you know, to set up what feels like, you know, an off the pace style. And there's not a lot of speed. AP's Bluegrass for Steve Williams, is a candidate. Celestial Cowboy for Fincher is coming out of a 6.5 at Zia in December. First time for Todd Fincher in here, but that one's got some speed. I guess Witt's Dollar Knight has shown speed. You know, that, to me, that's part of the equation in here, because I don't, you know, looking at a couple of different measurements, Carlos Sixes is not appreciably faster than quite a few in here. There's that race three back when he got claimed, but I'm looking at Thoroughgraph figures for this group, and there's a bunch that are just as fast as his last pair. So, you know, You're a Bad Guy, his last two. Formidable Force is running the same kinds of numbers. AP's Bluegrass is faster, frankly. So I thought there were a couple of reasons to be suspect about the favorite in here.
It's a fair point, and he's going to be a short price. So, if this is where you take a stand against Carlos Sixes, and you take that kind of stand, you probably leave him off the ticket, you know, because you're taking the stance that you just don't like the favorite in this spot, and he's going to be a short price. I just think that he's 6-5 on the morning line for Austin Gustafson. When you see his name, he's going to take money. The horse has taken money in his last five starts. I mean, he wasn't favored, but he was just under, what was that, 3-1 back at Lone Star on the grass going a mile and an eighth, and before that he was favored again three more times. So he's going to take a lot of money at the windows, and he's only won once in that last five efforts, and that was at the $10,000 level at Remington Park, and Carl Broberg had the horse. So, you know, the drop in class was the real main question for me at this $5,000 level. I think on paper he looks like a horse maybe that they go out and claim. But, yeah, if it doesn't set up for him, then you could see some of these bombers come in and see a big price in the sequence. No question.
The late double, 15,000 non-winners at two, going to go 7/8. This group has got an 8-5 favorite, Asmussen, Brewster, and Stewie Elliott again. Just Ask Joel. And beyond that, I looked to the outside and I thought that the 5-6 or the 6-7 and 8, Baudette Blizzard, Rider Rocket, and Valiant Appeal all had some cases to be made. But it starts with Just Ask Joel down inside.
Yeah, another, you know, who wants to win, right? I mean, 7 furlongs, the one has finished second in the last two, was odds on and got beat by 4 3/4 length, but is cutting back from the mile distance, as you say, for Steve Asmussen, Stewart Elliott. I felt like the number 6, Baudette Blizzard, one that you just mentioned, cutting back from the Delta race, another one that was a beaten favorite with 6 seconds and 4/3. Very cautious here with these favorites, but I have seen, and this is the one thing that I just kind of believe with my eyes, is that I've seen Carl Broberg win a lot of 7 furlong events here at Sam Houston Race Park. Since I've been calling the races here, it just seems like when he gets horses in these spots at this distance, they seem to run really well. And I think for the number 6 has a bit of an edge being outside of the one. I think it's going to get the jump on the one, and there is some speed in here, but I think the 6 is going to be able to dictate quite a few things from that outside post and do that. So the number 6, Baudette Blizzard, on the cutback, had been running at 5 furlong races at Delta before that. Has been at this 7 furlong distance once, and it didn't work out. But I just feel like I say, believing my eyes, this Louisiana bred was running against some state breds, comes back here at the $15,000 level. Another one, maybe cautious, that it has been taking money in the last three starts, just hasn't gotten the win. So maybe you're cautious in this spot, but I the horse is not going to be favored, I don't think. I think the one is going to be favored.
Yeah.
So if the one is going to be favored, finally you're getting some value here on the number six, Bodette Blizzard, for Broberg, and I think has a bit of a pace advantage. So the number six is going to be my top choice.
Nice. The other horse at 6-1 that feels like a B in here is Rider Rocket. Broke his maiden back in November as a late four-year-old. This is an E. Dubai that is a homebred, another Louisiana bred. Broke the maiden for 20, and Brent Davidson tried him in a couple of, you know, fairly aggressive spots. Did not run terrible against Allowance Company at Remington, and now drops back into maiden, you know, below the level of his maiden breaker. And so Rider Rocket, from a, you know, if you're a class evaluation type, I would take a look at 6-1 as well. And I mentioned earlier, Valiant Appeal, first time for Danny Pish again, not ever, because Pish had the horse last spring at both Sam Houston and at Will Rogers. And then Javier Gonzalez ended up with him for a while at South Florida, and now comes back to Pish. So, like I said,
favorite at Gulfstream Park last time.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, and ran okay at what I, you know, what probably is about an equivalent level. Actually, even frankly, 12-5 non-2 at Gulfstream in December, you know, might even be the, you know, just a scooch tougher than this. There's some, there's a lot of fun things, Chris, in this race regarding class levels. Like, for instance, you mentioned Bodette Blizzard, who's coming out of State Bred Allowance Company at Delta. So, you know, you get a real melange of, you know, horse flesh in here from, you know, from a variety of places, and, you know, trying to, you know, trying to make sense of, you know, the mix and match of conditions. It's kind of, you know, makes the handicapping and the play a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Steve, the thing that I would like to add to that and is that's where Sam Houston Race Park is headed. You know, the direction with the added purse money from what the state of Texas has done, and the racing program here, and getting the turf, you know, as, in wonderful condition, and making sure that we can get these field sizes. Things are going in the right direction, and you're starting to see these barns come from all over the country, and you're going to start seeing more Frank Lucarelli and Jonathan Wong from the West Coast as well, and see their name in the racing form. So it just seems like we're going in the right direction here as far as our product and our program, and you're seeing that on paper. You're seeing these horses, just as you say, come from the Louisiana breds, and they're coming out of that condition, and then you got the horse now is back in Danny Pish barn that was running at Gulfstream Park, and it just is a real testament to what the racing office is doing and what the program here at Sam Houston Race Park is doing. So just a quick shout out to everybody that's working hard here. They're doing a great job, and it's showing up. It's showing up on the track.
Well, and speaking of horses, last out at Gulfstream, there's Egyptian Princess in the Nightcap, Chris. This is a 4-5 favorite. Again, Steve Asmussen and Stewie Elliott, and a horse that Brendan Walsh brought along, a 4-year-old filly. This is a maiden special group going a mile on the grass. And, you know, Egyptian Princess at a glance, you know, not just the horse to beat, but again, a horse that people might lean on heavily in their big multi tickets.
Yeah, this is one way or the other. I mean, this is one of those horses that I've gotten some messages from people that say slam dunk. You know, she runs back to that Gulfstream Park effort, it's over. She's going to win. And then I've heard other people say the layoffs are a big concern. You know, she ran in 2019, then there was a layoff, then she ran in 2020. Another layoff. Now she's here at Sam Houston Race Park with Steve Asmussen. So on paper, she looks like the best horse. There's no question. She's by American Pharoah. She just needs to replicate that last effort. But it was April 11th in 2020. And so I think, again, this is one of those favorites where you're either with this favorite or you're against it, or you're just kind of throwing money at it in this 10th and final. I felt like I put this one on my ticket. Scattered Myth. Has speed to the inside, is by Scat Daddy, has been going to 7.5 for a long distance, gets the true mile here. you know, Domingo Chacoltana, I've seen him win nightcap races here at Sam Houston Race Park. You got the inside post. The horse has had some time off. Look, it was a long time ago, but the horse was running 5 furlongs at Gulfstream and showing a ton of speed. It still has that speed, and this 5-year-old mare, it could take him a long way around the racetrack. It's going to be a massive price. It's 12-1 on the morning line. The price could even float up a little bit higher because I think that money's really going to come in on the 3. So if the 3 is not ready and is chasing and just doesn't have that kick off the layoff, why can't the 1 take them pretty far here going the mile distance? And, Lemon Roses has some turf in the pedigree as well. Jessica Paquette, give her a shout-out again. She pointed this horse out on her analysis of the race and felt like this one is going to offer some value moving to the grass. So there are cases to be made if you're against the number 3 Egyptian Princess. For me, when I'm picking a winner, she just looks like the most likely winner on paper. She does. She's coming off the break, and that's really what I'm taking into account. But I haven't followed the horse around every single day. I don't know how the horse is doing this afternoon. We're going to see once the horse shows up on the racetrack and is ready to roll, give her a look when she comes on the track here in that 10th and final, and we'll see if she's ready. Because if she is ready, I think she's going to win. She just has the pedigree, she has the numbers, and she'll be ready to roll. If she's not, then those are the prices I'm going to take a look at. I like the number 1 Scattered Miss. I put that one in the exacta, and I think it's going to be in front. I just think the horse will be in front, and maybe gets brave out there, and this 5-year-old mare can pull off the upset.
That's the only other horse that I highlighted was Scattered Mist, and so I'm in complete agreement that if there is a B or a C to utilize, she's the one. She's a scat daddy, and she's career's been kind of interrupted a little bit, obviously here and there, but she was bred to be a nice horse, it's getting, the clock is ticking, as they say. So here she is making a 5-year-old debut. I got to ask you one question because I don't know a lot about Domingo Chacoltana.
Yeah, it's funny because you'll see, usually you'll see when they come out in the post parade, you'll see Domingo Chacoltana. Trainer, owner, jockey—they are related, but you'll see the name, and you don't see the senior and the junior. You just see the same name 3 times, but you will see Domingo Chacoltana quite a bit. And like I say, nightcaps is where they win races when they pair up and they combo up. It's usually in the last race of the day, and it's usually on some of these types, some of the speed types, and you'll pop them at a price, 4 for $98 in 2020 and riding for this outfit, and they're gonna ride together. So yep, that would be my analysis of that name. It's a tough name to say when Domingo Chacoltana is rolling down the stretch, you'll catch them at a price during the meet. I think they'll probably have a long shot or two, absolutely, during this meet at Sam Houston Race Park.
Well, the season starts to get really into the beat, and we're heading toward the end of the month, of course, and Houston Ladies Classic and the big stake card. And Chris will be looking forward to the action later this afternoon. The card itself starts a little bit after 5 Eastern, 4:03 Central, and the pick 6, the first that has abandoned the jackpot, starts at 6:56 Eastern, 5:56 Central. First visit of the season, and we look forward to doing more of this as the Sam Houston Race Park 2021 calendar unfolds.
Great. Yeah, great to hear. Appreciate everything. Thanks, Steve, and thanks to Betters, and let's get rolling. Yeah, we're kicking off another week number 2 here at Sam Houston Race Park.
Chris Griffin, everybody, and you'll enjoy Chris on the feed, and we'll talk to him again soon. Let's take a break here about 20 minutes into the morning, and we've got, we've got Tony, we got Haskin. Haskin's kicking off the Derby Dozen, by the way, and we'll see what his thoughts are. We've got to get to Seth and Rich Eng as well. By the way, follow Chris Griffin in the grandstand, I should mention, is Chris's Twitter address. Plus, there's a host of, they've got the whole team involved, too. You know, you got Martha Clausen does all the news and notes and pours out that stuff. And Jessica Paquette, who we mentioned, you can follow under J.M. Paquette, P-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E. They've got a full bunch. Trey Stiles is sending out analysis as well. And you follow Trey at ride_that_pony. So there you go. A nice team. And, of course, Trey, a well-known name on the contest circuit. I did reach out, by the way. I reached out to a couple of winners. We couldn't connect. I wanted to have a NHC qualifier conversation. We're down to the last two weekends for the 2020 version. We're not going to assemble until Vegas in August, but there's only 2 weeks left. So I'll get, in fact, we'll see. Hopefully, if not today, then tomorrow. I reached out to Keith Shamblin to kind of go through the checklist and make sure everybody knows what opportunities you have left to qualify for NHC. And then, as soon as we get to the week of the 25th, we turn the page and we're going to start qualifying for Vegas in, we assume, February of 22. So much like the Derby, the two Derbies within 6 months of each other, we're going to have the same. We're going to have even less. And it's going to be about the same sort of about 4.5 months between NHC. So almost back to back. Let's take a break here. Tony Black, Steve Haskin, Seth Merrow, Rich Eng at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Serious X.